give life. You are love. You bring light to the darkness. You give hope. You restore every heart that is broken. It's your breath in our lungs, so we pour out our praise, pour out our praise. It's your breath in our lungs, so we pour out our praise to you only. Great are you, Lord. You give life, you are love, you bring light to the darkness. You give hope, you restore every heart that is broken. Great are you, Lord. It's your breath in our lungs, so we pour out our praise, pour out our praise. It's your breath in our lungs, so we pour out our praise to you only. It's your breath in our lungs, so we
Hello, St. Stephens, and welcome to this time of worship in the season of Epiphany. Whoever you are and wherever you are joining us from, we really are so delighted that you can be here with us. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, The love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Please join me in today's call to worship. Our God calls us out of the shadows and shelters us as a mother hen protects her young. Our God calls us into his light, showing us the way of righteousness. Our God calls us to love others and gives us good gifts to do so. Our God calls us to action and enables us to use our gifts to build his kingdom. Our God calls us to follow him. He has given everything for us. Let us worship together. If you light a candle as a practice during worship, let's do that together and take a little moment to prepare ourselves for the rest of this time of worship. Let's pray together. Jesus Christ, light of the world, may we have eyes to see you and ears to hear you. Come to us, abide with us, O Lord Emmanuel. Illumine our path by the light of heaven. We are your people, here to honor you, to praise you. We come to learn what it is to love like you. May we lay our hearts, minds, and spirits open to be your people of grace in this world you came to save. For your sake and in your name we pray. Amen. And let's say our prayer of confession together. Holy and gracious God, gathered as your people responding to your call, we confess the self that is not aware of sinning, the heart that is too hardened to repent, the pride that dares not admit it is wrong, the righteousness that knows no fault, the callousness that has ceased to care, the blindness that can see nothing but its own will. God, in your healing love, forgive us. Through our Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Dear friends, God is ever faithful and present to us. The God who has known us since before our birth loves us and continues to strengthen us so that one day we will be completely blameless. Through the gift of Jesus Christ, God has offered us unending forgiveness, grace, and mercy. So every day, and especially in this season of Epiphany, we have this sense of God calling each of us to enter more deeply into his light. Thanks be to God, and God's people say, Amen.
Good morning. From the book of Psalms, Psalm 40, verses 1 to 11. I waited patiently for you, O God. You bent down and heard my cry. You lifted me out of the horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock, making my steps secure. You put a new song in my mouth, a song of praise to our God. Many shall see and wonder and will put their trust in you. Blessed are those whose trust is in God. You have not turned to the proud, nor to those who follow a lie. O God, my God, you have multiplied your wondrous deeds and your thoughts towards us. None can compare with you. I would proclaim and tell of them, but they are more than can be numbered. Sacrifice and offering you do not desire. Burnt offering and sacrifice for sin you have not required, but you have opened my ears to hear, and I said, here I am, ready to do what is written in the scroll of the book. I delight to do your will, O God. Your law is in my heart. I have told the glad news of deliverance in the great congregation. I do not restrain my lips, as you well know. I have not kept your goodness hidden in my heart, but have spoken of your faithfulness and your saving help. I have not concealed your steadfast love, nor your truth from the great congregation. Do not withhold from me your tender care, O God. May your love and truth ever preserve me. From the Old Testament, from the book of Isaiah, and I'm reading chapter 49, verses 1 to 7, and I'm reading from the Good News Bible. Listen to me, distant nations, you people who live far away. Before I was born, the Lord chose me and appointed me to be his servant. He made my words as sharp as a sword. With his own hand, he protected me. He made me like an arrow, sharp and ready to use. He said to me, Israel, you are my servant. Because of you, people will praise me. I said, I have worked, but how hopeless it is. I have used up my strength, but I have accomplished nothing. Yet I can trust the Lord to defend my cause. He will reward me for what I do. Before I was born, the Lord appointed me. He made me his servant to bring back his people, to bring back the scattered people of Israel. The Lord gives me honor, for he is the source of my strength. The Lord said to me, I have a greater task for you, my servant. Not only will you restore greatness, the people of Israel who have survived, but I will also make you a light to the nations, so that all the world may be saved. Israel's holy God and Savior says, to the one who is deeply despised, who is hated by the nations and is the servant of rulers, kings will see you released and you will rise to show their respect. Princes will also see it and they will bow low to honor you. This will happen because the Lord has chosen his servant. The holy God of Israel keeps his promises. This is the word of God.
Well, some of my own personal experiences at seminary were probably much as you might expect. There was lots of books and papers and reading, exploring and reflecting on things of God and things of ministry amongst God's people. But amongst all of that, there were also some more unusual assignments. And one of the more unusual ones came through a class that was called Character and Call. It was a class in which we were exploring what it means to be called and how we might faithfully live out those calls. The assignment was called Stranger Interviews. We were told to go out and to find 10 people who we didn't know and ask them if we could interview them. In my memory, I think there was probably about 5 or 6 questions we were given to ask them. But there's really only one of those that sticks with me still to this day. And in many ways, it's because that question was the whole point of the assignment. We were to ask each of the people we interviewed, each of these strangers, if they'd ever felt called to something. And we were also to ask them if they had any sense of where that call had come from, of who had called them. Now, our professor warned us that we should probably stick to people who weren't part of the church. He said that we would probably have far greater success with people from outside the Christian church, which seemed kind of strange to us at first. You'd think that people outside the church wouldn't really be that familiar with that, this idea of being called. And what sense would they make of that question about who had called? Frankly, the thought of asking those questions to people outside of the church in those interviews, it was part of what made the whole assignment seem pretty challenging at first. Well, there were lots of great stories that came back of how those interviews went and a variety of experiences, some of which were pretty wild. But without exception, every student in that class came back with 10 stories of people who indeed did have a sense of being called in some way. It turns out that people really didn't hesitate to share with us that, yes, they had had moments in their lives when they'd felt called to something. And while there were a range of answers to that question about who had been calling, it was surprising how many people felt that the source of that call was some sort of divine source. Many didn't name that source as God, but most thought that it was someone or something like a God that had called them. Well, here's what's really interesting. Those of us who didn't heed our professor's advice at first and instead tried to interview a few church people found that those interviews ended pretty quickly. Most of them ended with the person saying, no, they hadn't really ever had a sense of being called. Now, at first, you might find that strange, but if you really think about it, it's actually not that surprising. You see, where the rest of the world seems to be able to hold to a pretty broad understanding of what it might mean to be called, we in the church have narrowed our definition of that word. Mostly, we use it to refer to a specific call that comes to people like Foster or Phil or me, people who are called to be pastors or teachers. And in using the word call in that way, we've lost something really important, something that's actually vital to our faith and vital to God's mission in this world. So where the strangers we interviewed outside the church recognized this sense of being called in a myriad of different ways, the church people said, nope, I've never felt called, simply because they'd never had a sense of being called to preach or teach in what we call paid accountable ministry. So today I'm hoping to do a little bit to help us to recover that broader understanding of what it means to be called. And I'm going to lay all my proverbial cards on the table right now and tell you that I want to do that because I truly believe that as followers of Jesus, we are all, each and every one of us, called in some way. And one of the reasons I believe that is because of the place that passages like our reading today from Isaiah have in the overall story of our faith. This idea that people are called is very much a central aspect of our understanding of the Christian faith and of what it means to be God's people seeking God's kingdom. Throughout the biblical story, we hear of God calling specific people to certain things, kings and leaders, prophets, priests in the Old Testament, and disciples, apostles, deacons and elders in the new. God calls people. It's part of the way this life with God works. Well, in this reading, we hear from someone who has the sense that God has been calling and shaping them for a specific work since before they were born. And despite the fact that this person seems to feel like their efforts may have been in vain, God says that through them, people will be drawn to him. the impact of the work that they do will reach far further than they would have ever thought. Isaiah reports that God says it's going to reach to the very ends of the earth. Now, most biblical scholars agree that this is actually a prophecy about Christ. It is the second of four passages that we come to in Isaiah that we collectively call the Servant Songs. And even though they were written 700 years before Jesus' birth, all four of these writings are understood to have been prophecies about Christ and about the work that he would do when he came. Now, there are a significant number of respected scholars who think that this second servant song also speaks about more than just Christ. These people include names like Calvin and Martin Luther, people we in our end of the church tend to pay a lot of attention to. It's argued that certainly on one level, we are right to interpret this text about Christ coming to save us all. But they also say that there is more than one level to this reading. Calvin makes the point that throughout Scripture, we hear of God calling people, equipping them, and then sending them out to live out those calls. People like Abraham, Moses, and the patriarchs, and of course the apostles, St. Paul, St. Peter, and the others. So the argument is made that while this passage certainly speaks of Christ, it also speaks of the church at large, from the time of Christ right up to the present day. Well, it seems to me that it's pretty hard to argue with Calvin on this. One of the best parts of doing what I get to do is having the privilege of being able to watch as God nudges someone to do something, equips them with just what they need to do it, and then beautifully brings life through their efforts. I get to see those kinds of things happening around here frequently. And so, yes, I absolutely believe that this servant song is about Christ. I also firmly believe that it is also about every single person who seeks to follow him as well. God is in the habit of calling and equipping people to join in his work. Jesus has commissioned us to do just that. But we still struggle to believe that God truly is calling each of us to our parts in this great story. And I think we struggle in part because the idea of being called seems so big, especially the idea of being called by God. These stories of call that we read about in Scripture are a pretty big deal. The people who lived out those calls are really kind of giants to us, and we certainly don't see ourselves as giants of the faith, do we? Add to that the fact that we don't seem to, in general, experience calls in the same way that those calls that we read about in the Bible happen. In those stories, it seems like God's call is so clear. There's no missing it. A prophet comes bringing a message of God. God himself speaks from a burning bush. Jesus walks up to people and says, "Follow me." Those kinds of things haven't happened for most of us, and so we don't think that we are called. Except that we are. Our calls may not come in quite so dramatic a way. In fact, it's really likely that they won't. But they still come. And maybe I should write another sermon to talk about some of the ways that they do come to us. Because Jesus' great commission to the church is still very much underway. So that means that God is still calling and equipping us to live out our individual parts in that commission. Now, for many of us, those parts might not seem to be very significant. And for fact, for lots of us, we may not even be aware that in doing the things that we do, we are living out God's call. But aware of it or not, we're doing exactly that. Every time we let the love of God flow through our lives to others, we're living out our calls. Whether that love flows through a prayer offered, through a smile, through a word, or maybe a story of how God has helped you in your life, or through something as simple as a bowl of soup and a grilled cheese sandwich. It's all part of the magnificent way that God leads us to be part of bringing his light to this world. These things that we do, they might just seem like ordinary things to us. But as someone I love reminds me often, they sometimes have far more significance than we realize. You may not be able to see how God is able to use a simple thing that you've done to touch someone else, to let them know that they're not alone, that God is real, that he's close, and most of all, that he loves and cares for them. But your simple loving actions, they do all those things all the same. Helping people discover God and his love, that is ultimately the purpose of every call God has ever given. And it is what God is doing every day through the wonderful, ordinary seeming lives of people like you and I. Amen.
Hello. Please join me in these, the prayers of the people. Lord of love and light, shine into our lives and bring your love into our souls. Remind us of the amazing ways you have loved us, even when we turned our backs on you. Open our hearts to receive your loving spirit. Open our minds to receive your wisdom. Open our hands to show others your loving compassion. Lord of love and light, we hold in our hearts those around us who feel unloved. We bring them to you for you to shine your love into their lives. We hold in our minds those who are overwhelmed by their needs and difficulties. We hold in our hands your loving compassion to give them. Lord of love and light, there are people in places that are dark, and in the dark about your love. Shine forth your light and love in their lives and in those places. There are people and places that have closed their minds to you, to others, to new and fresh ideas. Shine forth your light and love to open their minds to you, to others, to new and fresh ideas. There are people and places that need our hands reaching out to them with your loving compassion. May our reaching out to them with your love and compassion shine forth your light and love. And we pray for your light and love for all in the name of Jesus, who taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
I want to thank you again for the ways that you have given throughout this week. We are so appreciative. Your gifts make all of the ministry of St. Stephen's possible, including the ministry of this online service. So we are deeply appreciative of the ways that you are supporting that work. Let's pray together now to dedicate all of the gifts given to the mission of God in this world. O God, all the good things we enjoy have come from you, so now we offer these gifts. We give them in response to your generosity, identifying with your compassion for all those who suffer. May all who are in need experience the unsearchable riches of Christ and the gift of the Holy Spirit, even as their physical needs are met. May we be co-workers with Christ, remembering always that all we do has been made possible because of the gracious gift of salvation he offers us. In his name we pray. Amen. A couple of announcements today. One is for a gathering that is happening tonight, Sunday, January 15th, from 6 to 8 p.m. here at the church. Forrest and Amanda Wagner have taken on leading our family ministry and ministry with youth in the church. And they're starting by a family games night tonight here. And families of all ages are welcome. They would like the young and the young at heart. So if you like to play games, you are welcome to come. Bring your favorite board game or card game, and we'll find some people to sit down with and play some games together. It promises to be a fun evening, so I hope we'll see lots of people there. Also, please mark the date January 29th on your calendars. On that day, we will be having one in-person service and our regular online service. The in-person service will be at 10 a.m. It will be a joint service. And after that service, we're going to gather for a congregational gathering. And the point of that gathering is really to discuss kind of where we are now in our ministry here at St. Stephen's and where we think we might be going in the future. Those conversations are really important as the financial people who do all of that work around here and the board put together a budget for this year, a budget we hope to bring to you at the end of February. And so to make sure that budget reflects the reality of where we are and where we're going, we want to have those bigger conversations together. So I hope you will come out if you can, if you're local. If you're not local, we would love to hear from you. Send us an email at the church office with your thoughts about what you'd like to see for the coming year here at St. Stephen's. And we will make sure all of those get read and considered as we put together our plan for this year. Friends, as you leave this time of worship today, leave remembering that the God who has known you since before you were born, who calls you and knows you by name, is now sending you out into the world to bring light to those in darkness, comfort to those who grieve, and hope for those who despair. And as you go carrying the light of God with you, may the blessing of God, the love of Christ, and the presence of the Holy Spirit be among you and within you this day and always. Amen.
Jesus calls us o'er the tumult of our lives' wild restless sea. Day by day his sweet voice soundeth, saying, Christian, follow me. Jesus calls us from the worship of the vain world's golden store, from each idol that would keep us, saying, Christian, love me more. In our joys and in our sorrows, days of toil and hours of ease, still he calls in cares and pleasures, Christian, love me more than these. Jesus calls us by thy mercies, Savior, may we hear thy call. Give our hearts to thine obedience, serve and love thee best of all.